Us here tonight. Once again, we want to bring a message upon the series that we've been now. I believe this is our sixth message in this series, and it's just entitled simply "The Precious Blood." And I've certainly enjoyed the study. I probably will have one more message, maybe two, but I know one more, and we'll get into some things in that that be a little bit different than what we've covered thus far. But tonight, we want to focus our attention upon another aspect of what the blood does for you and I. And we have noticed that we have redemption through the blood. We've noticed we have remission through the blood. And tonight we're going to bring out some things concerning the reconciliation that we have through the blood, that we've been brought back in fellowship, back in standing with the Lord Jesus, with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now, I have a lot of scriptures tonight that we want to go over. And a lot of times I have my scripture printed out where I can just read it real quick. A lot of times I have it marked where I can turn real quick. But I've got some scripture tonight that you just bear with me and follow along, and we'll find it together. And just read what thus saith the Lord. The best thing we can do is find what God has to say. Not worry about what people say or what people think, but find out what God says. That'll take care of it. Tonight we begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we'll turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Word of God reads, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now you notice here, just as we have been reconciled to God, He has given us that same ministry of the reconciliation. And that's where our part comes in, that we try to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ and show them the work of the Lord. Verse number 19. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the work," or the word, "of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now that word, those words there, "in Christ's stead," just simply means to do what Christ would do if He were here. And the scripture says here, "we pray you in Christ's stead." If the Lord was here tonight, He would make reference to, "be ye reconciled." Come back into fellowship with God. Verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now if you would turn to Colossians chapter number 1, we'll be reading verse number 20. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." You notice there, having made peace through the blood. And then we have that reconciliation of all things. Now, if you would, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews, chapter number 2. You cannot very easily preach on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you get to the book of Hebrews. Somewhere, you'll go there and run some reference. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God to bless the reading of the Scripture and bless the message tonight as we're here. It's good to have a good friend, Brother Larry Workman, with us. And Brother Larry pastors up near Cincinnati, and I want to have him to lead us to the throne of grace. Brother Larry, do that. Amen. Tonight we're dealing again with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we've been redeemed, not with the corruptible things of this world, such as silver and gold, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood. And we've been looking at this now for 6 weeks and some different messages, the redemption and remission, but tonight reconciliation. All of that comes because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed there upon Calvary. When man sinned, back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam freely chose to sin and to go against the Word of God, that broke a relationship and a fellowship with God, and it had to be mended, or it had to be brought back together. And that is the work that we find in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man has broken fellowship. Man has no relationship with God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that he, as we've read here tonight, he has given him the ministry of reconciliation, and we also have that ministry. But God, through his mercy and through his grace, I'll thank God tonight, he has restored that relationship. Amen. And he's restored that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is reconciliation. When a person gets upset with another person, and it gets to the point that they just break all fellowship and all communication, and the only way they can get that back is to have someone come and help them. They have to be reconciled. They're at odds against each other, and that's where we are against God. We're at odds against Him, and He's at odds against us because of our sin. And so we must have reconciliation. That word just simply means to bring together again in agreement. It means to restore to friendship and to fellowship as it once was. I'm glad tonight, thank God, that though I have been a sinner and I've been outside of the fold and the will of God, and was lost without hope and was undone, I'm glad that I have been brought back into fellowship and relationship with the Lord God of heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. I was at odds against Him, and He, the Bible says, we'll see in a moment, that God is angry every day with the wicked, and He's broken fellowship with us because of our sin. And through sin, barriers have been raised between God and man. I believe the Old Testament is a book and it is a portion of the Scripture that proves to us and shows to us that man, in his own ability, is not able to cross the barrier. He's not able to span the gulf that's been set there between God and man because of sin. And through sin, these barriers have been placed there by God to show us and to reveal to us that there's nothing good within us and nothing we can do to come to God in our own self. You'll notice that back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, when Adam and Eve fell, when they sinned against the Lord, in chapter 3, verse number 22, the Bible says, "The Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now we find here the first barrier that was placed there because of man's sin is that flaming sword. That was simply there, placed there to keep man from coming back into the garden and taking of that tree of life, that he would live forever. God says he's become one of us in that he knows good and evil. He knows what's right and what's wrong, and he's chosen that which is wrong. Can you imagine what this world been like if Adam and Eve had gone back in the garden and took of that tree that would give them life eternal upon this earth? We'd be in a worse shape than we're in tonight, because man gradually, continually goes down, down, down. And the only thing that's kept this humanity and this race of humans from literally destroying itself is that men die off and wickedness dies off. But there's always somebody to take its place. Always somebody there to take up the problem of sin. But God put a flaming sword there to keep man from going in. There's a barrier because of sin, because of transgression against the Word of God. Then we find, as you read on in the Word of God, you'll find that there was a fatal sentence given because of the law, because of this sin. The law was given. God gave the law, but it was given that no man would be able to come and keep the law. It's a foolish thing to say that I'm going to heaven because I keep the Ten Commandments. You just don't know what you're talking about. There's nobody living, nobody that ever has lived, nobody that ever will live that will keep the law of God. And the Ten Commandments are just a total summation of all the laws that God gives. And you can't keep them. And the law was given, this fatal sentence was given in the law that within my body rules death. And I cannot do what God wants me to do. The law gave no man that could possibly keep. And what God said, the law does not bring man to God. It brings man to the end of himself. And when man comes to the end of himself, then God can take over. God doesn't use the law to bring about salvation. If that had been the case, then he wouldn't need to send his son. Wouldn't have needed the Lord Jesus Christ. But the law puts us to the point of saying, well, I've tried this, I've tried to do this, I've tried not to lie, I've tried not to steal, I've tried not to commit adultery in my heart, I've tried not to do this, and I cannot keep those things. I cannot live the way God says I must live. And we come to the end of ourselves. And God says, now I can take over. God says, now I've got your attention. And as long as we hold on to something that we want to do, as long as we say, well, there might be a possibility that I could do something, as long as that's there in our life, we'll die and go to hell without God. Amen. Salvation is a work of God, and salvation is only come to us when we realize that we cannot do what God says. We cannot obey God. The law brings us to the end of ourselves where God can take up and help us. The law, the Bible says, was a schoolmaster to teach us that we have no strength to come to God. That schoolmaster taught us that I have no hope. I say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. And all of a sudden we falter, we fail. And the law says, guilty. The law says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And what the law says we should do, we do not. And what the law says we ought not to do, that's what we do. And that's what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament. He said, those things that I know to do, I do them not. I don't do what I know is right. And he said, but I end up doing those things I know is wrong. And what is that? That's that work of flesh. That's that desire of flesh. That's us realizing that we cannot, through our own strength, do what God has told us to do. And so the law brings us to the point to teach us that we have no strength of our own. Amen. We have no way to come to God. We have no way of pulling ourselves up to the Lord. We can't do that. We must come to Him in faith and simple believing the Word of God. The law is holy and man is unholy. The law is righteous and man is unrighteous. And we must have a reconciler. We must have one that will bring us together. So we find that God put a barrier in that He had a flaming sword there in the Garden of Eden. We find that man has that fatal pronouncement of judgment upon him through the law. And then third barrier, we find that man was forbidden presence at the mercy of God. At the mercy seat of the law, man could not come to that. You see, we put out handbills, and we've got down here to the bottom of this one, everyone welcome. But when you came to the tabernacle of God, you didn't find a welcome sign there. You didn't find a welcome there because man could not. Man was forbidden to go in the place of the mercy seat. But I'm glad, thank God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have access through the blood. Because of the blood, I have access into the very throne room of God. When Moses built the tabernacle, God instructed him to put a veil up. And that veil was to keep man out. It wasn't to keep God in. It wasn't to keep God back there behind. It was to keep man in his place. And so we find the Holy of Holies is the dwelling of God, and therefore man could not go in because he was a sinner. He had been torn asunder. He had been separated from the things of God. That veil said, in essence, no trespassing. That veil, in essence, said, keep out. That veil said, don't you come back here. You're not holy. You're not righteous. And an unholy and an unrighteous man cannot come into the presence of God. We can't do that through ourselves. We wouldn't live if that was what we tried to do. But the Bible says in Psalm number 7 and verse number 11, the Scripture says here, God judges the righteous And God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day, the scripture says, God is angry with the wicked. I mean, He's angry. When He sees the stuff that's going on today, God's angry at that. God hates sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sinner's sin. When God looks down from heaven, and when God knows, and as He does know, all the sin that's going on, the Bible says He's angry every day. The wickedness of man comes up before Him as a stink in his nostrils, and He says, I'll just give them over to a reprobate mind. I'll just let them go their own way. He said, but I hate their sin. Man is guilty over and over and over again. And man has no longer reconciled to God, but that fellowship's broken. Continually, every day, as wickedness prevails and as things come and go in our life. Oh, God's angry tonight at the wickedness of man around us. God was angry at the wickedness of Adam and Eve. God was angry at the wickedness of Noah's day and his generation. God was angry at the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's day. God was angry at the day when men rebelled against Him in His own land, and when man would go his own direction, when man did that which was right in his own eye. God is sitting there angry because of that sin. And I'm telling you tonight, God's no less angry than He was then. God hates sin.
Amen.
God didn't make man to sin. God made man to have fellowship with Him. And through sin, we have broken that fellowship, and there must be a reconciler. And that can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Job found his limit. Lord, turn with me to the book of Job, chapter number 9. Book of Job, chapter number 9. Well, I got to studying this afternoon. I had myself a time. I hope I can relate to you what the Lord gave me. In Job chapter 9 and verse number 30, Job says, if I wash myself with snow water. Now, that's an interesting term.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that through the blood of Christ, we become white as snow.
Amen.
He says, though I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean. Job said, I can take the pure white virgin snow that falls upon the ground, that's never been walked upon, never been touched. And he said, I can take that water and I can melt it down and I can wash myself with that, and I may have never been so clean as that. Notice here what he says also, verse 31, yet shall thou plague me in the ditch, or plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. Job said, I'm dirtier than my clothes, even though I wash myself with snow water. Now look at verse number 32. For he, speaking of God, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. Job said, I cannot come to God.
Amen.
Job said, I can clean myself up. I can turn over new leaves. I can do the best I can. I can go through all the motions, and I can join every church. And I mean, we can put all kinds of things with that Job might say. He said, I've cleaned it up, and I've never been so clean in my life. And he said, but I'm just like a man's been thrown in the ditch, and my clean clothes abhor me because of my filthiness. Isaiah says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
All of the good things, all the great things we think we might could accomplish and could do. Isaiah said they're nothing more than the filthy, putrefying rags that the lepers would wrap around their sores as their fingers, their joints would begin to deteriorate and to rot. And they'd wrap their hands, they'd wrap their wrists, and their elbow, everywhere there was a joint is where deterioration and rottenness and decay came into those folks that had leprosy. And Isaiah said, all of our good works, all of our righteousness is just like those filthy old rags. Oh, folks, we have never been clean enough to come to God. We've never been able to attain righteousness with God. We've never been able to do something to gain that. And Job says here, I can clean myself up. I can make things look well. I can wash myself with snow water. I'm a man and he's not a man. That I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. We can't do that. Look at verse number 33. Thank God. He says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us. Now that word daysman, that's an interesting term. This is the only time it's used in the Word of God. He says here in verse number 33, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Job said, I can wash and I can clean and I can do, and I still can't come to God. God is not a man like I am, and I can't come to God. And Job in his despair said, there's no daysman here that come between us and can put his hand on both of us. Oh, can you get that message? Do you get that picture tonight? Oh, thank God tonight. There may not have been a daysman out there with Job that he could see, but thank God tonight we have one. And his name is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God let Job get a glimpse of what man needed. Job said, we need a daysman. We need somebody to help us. Well, I got to looking down. I turned my computer on real quick, and I said, I want to find out how many times that word daysman is in the Word of God. I found out one time right here. So I began to think about what does that mean, a daysman. I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. They said go to 03198. So I went over to 03198, and that word, sir, what it is, it means to judge or to reason together. Job said we need somebody to judge us. Job said we need somebody to reason together. I thought, my, that reason together, that sounds like Isaiah 118. Come now, let us reason together. I turned over there and I looked up that word reason together. You know what number it was? It was 03198. It means a daysman. It means we've got to have someone that put his hand on both of us. Thank God tonight when God said, come now, let us reason together. He was saying, come now, let us come together with God through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word there that is translated daysman, I can't speak Hebrew. I don't know anything about it. But I know I wrote that word down. It's Y-A-W-K-A-H-H. Yaka is the way it's pronounced. And the word for God in the Old Testament is the word Yah, Yahweh. And God says the only way that you can come together, the only way that you can have a daysman is it has to be God. Oh, think about it. One night, one day, the Spirit of God came upon a virgin there in Bethlehem and there in Jerusalem. And there we find, through the work of the Holy Spirit, she was anointed and carried the very Son of God, carried God in the flesh in her womb for those months, and birthed a child by a virgin never heard of, never before or after. You know what that was? That was our daysman.
Right.
That was that one that could put his hand over here and could put his hand over here. Thank God tonight, He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hell, come now, let us reason together. And it's the identical word in the Hebrew language as a daysman is. And then I began to think about the New Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians. I got almost completely off track when I was studying this. I got off of reconciliation onto these things, but we're reconciled because of this. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 18. Galatians 3:18. The Bible says, for if the inheritance be of law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Thank God tonight it's by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom was promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. I tell you, that takes care of the crowd that says there's other ways to get saved.
Amen.
God, through the Apostle Paul, and God says, if there was a law that could have given life, then I'd have give life by the law. But there wasn't. Law was not the daysman. Law was not the mediator. Law was not the instrument that God would use to bring himself and man back together. Notice now, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now look, if you would, with me, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It's not the law. It's not the works of the law. but it's that man, Jesus Christ. He's our daysman. He's our mediator. He's the one that stands between. He's the one that can put the hand over here on the sin of the world and can put his hand around his Father and bring us together and give us fellowship and give us life. He's the only one that can do that. Then if you would, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 13. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the of eternal inheritance." Thank God tonight, that's pretty clear. That which Job said, "I do not have," is what we do have tonight. That which Job says, "I don't have a daysman. I don't have one that's a go-between. I don't have a mediator. I don't have anywhere to go to God." Thank God tonight, you and I do have, and He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. I looked those things up this afternoon. I about had myself a fit. I tell you, it rejoiced my soul to think about what Job didn't have. I do have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Using even the same word. Thank God for that. Oh, I tell you tonight, the book of Ephesians, turn with me if you would. Ephesians chapter number 2. I told you I had a lot of scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We that were a long distance away from God, we had to have somebody put their hand on us and bring us to God. And that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I'm glad, no wonder the Apostle Paul said we preach nothing save Christ and Him crucified. No wonder we have one message, and that message is the Son of God. No wonder everything else takes second place when you think about what Jesus Christ did there upon the cross of Calvary. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. "Now Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross." Thank God, only way you're going to get in God is through the cross of Calvary. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through the waterway. It's not through some other path. It's not some holding on, holding out, wishing, hoping, a desiring, but it's through Jesus Christ, He and He alone. And brings us to God. He's our daysman. He's our mediator. And Job said, "I didn't have one that could put his hand over here and put his hand over here." But thank God when Christ died, he put his hands out. And he brought us to reconcile, to be reconciled back unto God. Christ, the Bible says here, he took my place. He took my portion. He took my place there on Calvary's tree. When you study the works of the tabernacle, you'll find and everything about it said, "Don't come near me. God's holy, God's righteous." Brother Jay, two or three of y'all pass these things out. It's just a portion, a picture, an artist's conception of what the tabernacle looked like. I want to look at that just for a moment. I've got about 50 copies, maybe take one per family. And I want us to think about this mediator that we have that's not in the tabernacle, it's not in the law, it's not in the things of this world, but it's in Jesus Christ. It's in the Son of God. And I have this picture here. I've used it a lot of times. And I thank God, whoever drew this, knew a little bit about what they're talking about. Amen. There, the picture of the tabernacle. See all those tents out there? That represents people. And there they were at the tabernacle as they traveled through the wilderness. I know all of you can't see it. But we find out here, that Shekinah glory of God coming down. And that glory was revealed to them. That's where God is. That's where God's dwelling was. And the glory of God came down and shone upon that place. Now we find that... give me one of those. Don't get rid of all of them. I need one. We find the tabernacle was a place that God says, "This is where I'll meet with you." But it wasn't a daysman. It wasn't a mediator. The tabernacle is where God said, "I'll reveal myself to you." But it wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody get one of these that wants one? Everybody? All right. The tabernacle. We find that if you look at that, you'll see the top picture is just a drawing of that. And once again, you'll see all those little tents out there. You know what that is? That's the Jewish people that followed it everywhere it went. Pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. As that Shekinah glory of God moved, they would move with it. They'd just pick up their tent. No wonder how the Scripture says we're just pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're not to get our roots down too far. We're not to have too much dealing with this world. We're just to pack up our bags and do what God tells us to do. And here we find as they erected this tabernacle. You'll see down there at the bottom picture, it's not a real good picture of that. It's sort of dark, but if you'll look at it, you'll see the outer court. Now, the outer court was this area out here where anybody could go. It didn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. You could go in that outer court. But they couldn't nobody go behind the veil right there except the high priest. He went in there and done a job. He went in there and had work to do. And he could go in there. He went in there every day. You'll see there on that top picture that veil that comes down, that curtain that's there, and I think on the bottom it says the curtain there on the tabernacle part, that outside area there is the outer court where you could come and have mingling and doing different things. But when you got to the tabernacle proper, to the tabernacle itself, you couldn't do there what you wanted to do. The high priest is the man that did the work there. And he went in behind that veil daily, offering the sacrifices that God had told him to give and doing the work of the high priest. And then once a year, he went behind the veil. He went into the Holy of Holies. He didn't go in there when he got ready either. He didn't do that every day. He did that once a year on the Day of Atonement. He went in there making his offering. And he went in to do the work of a high priest that the sin of the nation of Israel would be pushed forward another year until the next Day of Atonement. I told you in one of the other messages, under the law or under the tabernacle worship, under these things, the sin was pushed forward. Under grace, thank God, it's paid for. It's taken out, it's taken away, and it's taken from us. It's not there anymore. It's in the sea of God's great forgetfulness. And so we find here the message of the tabernacle. Stay away. Don't come back here. You can't do that. Why? Why could you not do that? You didn't have a daysman. You didn't have one that could go there for you. But thank God the Bible says when Jesus Christ, the scripture where we read, it says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained the ordinance to make Him, to make in Himself of twain, one new man, soul making peace. The Bible says He has broken down that middle wall of partition. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. What was that? All of a sudden we have a daysman. All of a sudden we've got one that can put his hand over here on this side, his hand over here on this side, and said, be ye reconciled unto Him. That's the Son of God. That's the work of our high priest there on the cross of Calvary. The veil was rent, and now God says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That's the remedy of our sin, the daysman that we must have. Jesus broke that middle wall down where He said you couldn't come in. Now He says, whosoever will. Where He says, don't touch, don't come. You're not welcome here. You're a sinner and God's angry with sin every day. Now He says, come. And I'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He says, now come. I'm the one that spans the gulf. I'm the one that has stretched out my arms. I'm the one that can touch the sinner over here and touch the sinless over here and bring them together. That's reconciliation. And we have that through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our remedy. He is the one that takes care of that. Oh, may we think when we study these things, may we think how great our God is, how good the Lord Jesus Christ is, and how perfect and how mighty He is in that He would give not the law, not the prophets, not the tabernacle, not the temple, but He'd give His Son. Amen. And we'd be brought back to Him. Yeah. Man was the sinner, and God's the one that had to pay the price. Man was the one that said, I don't want that. Man was the one that said, crucify Him, away with Him. Man is the one that said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Man is the one that said, give us Barabbas. Man is the one that said, we'll do what we want. And man is the one that's saying today, we don't want no part of God, no part of religion, no part of salvation. Amen. But still God paid the price. Right. He's the daysman. He's the Son of God. And we have been made reconciled. We have been brought back together. Boy, I didn't understand all that until I began to study this. We have been brought together because he had the ability to span the gulf. You see, the Bible says he was made flesh and dwelt among man. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We are not the Son of God, but we are children of God. We're sons of God. And we have that because he is our daysman. Used only one time in the Word of God. And that, what a great passage of Scripture that is. It says, come now, let us reason. That daysman is the one that is to reason. Come now, let us have a daysman. Let us reason together. And there that one day, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born. It's not his virgin birth that reconciled me to God. No, as great as that is. I mean, that's one of the cardinal doctrines of our teaching of the Word of God, is the virgin birth. But that's not what reconciled me. His sinless, perfect life, as great a doctrine as that is not what brought me back into fellowship with God. But I'll tell you what did. That's the day he died on Calvary's tree, shed his blood, and said, I can touch a man because I am a man. I die as a man, and I can touch God because I'm still God. Oh, he's my mediator tonight. He's my remedy tonight. The results of that we found as we read there in Colossians. We read when we first tonight, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20 and 21. There's results of our Son of God and having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. You that were aliens and enemies, haters of God, he's the one that's reconciled us. Amen. He's brought us together. Fellowship broken. Relationship severed because of sin. God says, I'm angry at sin all the day long, every day. But I've been reconciled by him. I've been brought to him by the blood of the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, if you would turn there in the book of Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm glad tonight the result of my daysman is that I have peace with the Lord. I have peace. I don't have trouble. I don't have discouragement in my life. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about peace with God and the peace of God. And if you have peace with God, you can have peace of God. And thank God tonight I have peace with God because of what he did on Calvary. I have the peace of God is because one day I trusted him as my Savior. Oh, tonight, thank God, the results of my daysman is that I have peace. Make peace with God, Christ. Made that peace for us. Then the Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 5, we'll turn there. In John chapter 5, verse number 24, the Scripture tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We think of men passing from life to death. When God says when you trust the Lord Jesus, you pass from death to life. We don't die. We're not dying. We're living. We have peace with God. We have passed from death into life. The Bible says, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. There's that peace, and there's that we pass from death unto eternity and into eternal life. And then not only that, but we have possessions that have been made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have these things as a result of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Be ye reconciled unto God. Be brought back together. Well, how can I be? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through the mediator of a new covenant. But, you know, there's a lot of folks, they reject that. I mean, they'll turn their back on that. They say it's too easy. They'll say there's got to be some other way. There's got to be something else that I have to do. But there's no way of coming to God. There's no way of having peace. There's no way of having possessions. There's no way of passing from death into life except through the Son of God. Amen. I mean, you can be baptized and you can know every crick and crevice in the baptistry. You can know where everything is behind the baptistry. You can know all about it, but that'll not give you peace with God. You can walk down the aisles and you can shake preacher's hand. Doesn't matter how great they are and how well known they might be. That'll not give you peace with God. You can run around the building if you want to, and that'll not help you. That'll not give you peace. The only thing that'll give you peace is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one coming to God except He's my mediator. He's the one that said, I can put my hand over here, and I can put my hand over here, and then I can bring you together. We are brought together. We're made nigh. We're brought nigh to God through the blood. We're reconciled unto Him. A person does not go to hell because of his sins. Don't tell children good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's not right. I know some, what we would call in our language, in our term, I've known some good people that died without God. Even though the Bible says there's none good, I'm talking about what we think of as good people. They took care of their family. They didn't run around. They lived moral lives. And what we would think would be good people, but they died without God. So there's some good people that go to hell. And I've known some people that say they're saved, and I have no reason to doubt it, that just sometimes just as mean as can be. So don't tell your children that kind of stuff. Tell your children that saints go to heaven. Been born again. Have the blood applied to the heart. And don't tell them that sins will take them to hell. There's only one thing that will take a person to hell. And that's rejecting your daysman. Rejecting the Son of God. Rejecting the offer that you can be brought together. Rejecting that hope and that security that we have. That we can be brought back together. We're as far as the east is from the west from God. And God says, I sent my Son. And He has reconciled you unto God. He's brought you nigh. He's brought you back. He's given you that peace. He's given you that security. Rejecting the Son of God is what sends a person to hell. It's not that we're liars. There's not a one of us in here tonight that would not be guilty sometime telling a lie. Lying's not what sends you to hell. I mean, there's a lot of folks tonight, a lot of preachers get up preaching. They preaching a lot of things that just send you to hell when that's not true. The only thing that sends you to hell is rejecting the Son of God. Amen. Rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, if you reject Him in your life, those other sins are going to be prevalent in your life and ought not to be prevalent in the child of God's life. But the sin of rejection is what will send an individual to hell. Oh, may the Lord help us to understand. I have a mediator. I have one that's able. I have one that is my go-between. I have one that can stand between me and God. And He can bring me to God and He can bring God to me. Upon the blood. God looks upon His Son's death and His dying and His shedding His blood, and He said, reconcile. Boy, it's just that quick. Yeah. When a bunch of people running around today say you got to pray through and do all this and do all that. I know a fellow right now, if a person comes down to the altar and wants to get saved, he'll not lead them to the Lord. He says that's just the first step. You've got to seek a little more. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Just keep praying. The Lord will reveal to you a little more light and a little more light. And all of a sudden, you'll say, that's not true, my friend. Amen. Salvation is an instantaneous work from God. I mean, it comes just as quick as you can bat your eye when you trust the Lord. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Not down the road 2 or 3 years. Not down the road 6 months. But if when you believe, trust Jesus Christ. And by the way, that word belief has within it this thing of repentance. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, biblically, scripturally, you will repent of your sin. You'll turn from this world and you'll turn to God and you'll get saved. Amen. Why? Because Jesus died. Jesus shed His blood. The reason Christ came was that He'd bring this crowd over here back to this man here, God. That's the only reason He came. It was lost in the garden. Thank God it's been regained at Calvary. Amen. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made us, given us reconciliation, and made us draw nigh by the blood. All reconciled. Thank God tonight, I have that hope, I have that security, that I've been reconciled. Have you ever had somebody get ill at you and get mad? And they wouldn't speak to you, wouldn't talk to you. Boy, don't go well, does it? I don't like people mad at me. Sometimes I get mad. And I don't like people mad at me. and your fellowship is broken. Or you might used to go out and eat together. Now you don't do anything. You maybe used to have fellowship and do things together as families would. But something was said, and broke that fellowship. A lot of churches not have that problem. And that fellowship is broken. That relationship is gone. But isn't it sweet when you can be able to sit down and work your problems out? Isn't it good when you can come and say, I'm guilty. I shouldn't have done that. And they said, no, it's not your fault. It's my. No, don't you. It's not your fault. It's my. You know what's happening? You're being reconciled. All of a sudden, you're taking up that which you ought to take up. All of a sudden, you're saying, I'm guilty. And that's what happens when we come to God. We say, God, I'm guilty. I give up. I give it over to you. Sin left a crimson stain. Thank God. Now I'm washed white as snow. That's reconciliation through the blood of our Savior. Let's stand tonight. We have redemption, we have remission, and thank God we have reconciliation. I'm glad I'm redeemed, I'm glad I have remission of my sin, I'm glad I've been reconciled. I'm glad I'm at friends with the Lord again. I'm not an enmity against Him, I'm not an enemy of His. Why? Because I've been brought back to where He is. Have that fellowship once again. Father, bless now the study of the Word of God tonight. Lord, as we look at these things so very quickly, God, help us to comprehend what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, bless tonight. Lord, we ask you if there's those here, maybe there's someone here that's lost. They've never been reconciled. They've never been brought back to a right relationship, a right standing with the Lord. God, I pray tonight that you'd work upon the heart. Then, Lord, tonight, those of us are Christians. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand what we have in Christ. It wasn't just some frivolous thing that Jesus did there on Calvary's tree, but God, there He died and He became our mediator, our daysman, that He could bring us back to God. Lord, thank you tonight for what He did in Calvary. And Lord, I pray we'd keep it close to our heart and understand, realize what we have through Him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 300.